you're visiting today. We are doing an interesting series at the moment called Life Works with Jesus. And the idea is that we're taking just pretty random and unrelated topics and just seeing how life works with Jesus in those things. So we've done all kinds of things. We've talked about suffering. We've talked about driving the car. We've talked about doing the washing. We've talked about all kinds of things. I can't even remember. Money. We've talked about all kinds of things. And the idea being that in every part of life, if we're disciples of Christ, life works best when we follow Jesus in those things, with those things. And also it is a life's work to follow Jesus in everything. So today, we're going to talk about Google. Yeah, now some of you I'm going to need to explain what Google is. And others will be very familiar with it. Okay, and hopefully it will make sense. So Google, if you don't know what Google is, come Keith, you do know what Google is. I know you do. Yeah, even Margaret does, yes. So that's because you taught her. Google is a big, if you don't know, Google's a big tech company, an empire really you would say in modern terms. And they do all kinds of things. Most sat navs and stuff, they work off Google Maps on your phone. It's a search engine, which means everything, if you go into the internet and you want to search for something on the internet, Google pretty much nearly powers nearly all of that. They run YouTube. If you watch YouTube videos, Google runs that. I mean, there's loads of stuff. Chris probably, somebody like Chris would know, you know, or John, you know, they kind of got their heads in these kind of things. But Google's a big thing. And today I'm going to specifically talk about Google as a search engine, which is that bit of where we type something into the internet and you get an answer. Okay? And it's become something. Google has become not just a noun, it's become a verb. Do you know what I mean by that? It's not just the name of a company, but it's actually become an action. So we Google something, you know. So in fact, my secret, you know, I'm not as good as Anu. Anu, if I say to Anu, where is this verse in the Bible? She'll just go, da-da, and she'll tell you. Whereas if you say to me, where's this verse in the Bible? So give a second. And I Google it on my phone, and then I give it, and you, oh, pastor's amazing. He always knows where to find the verse. Yeah, especially if you're on the phone to me, yeah, can you find this? But yeah, I'll just, come to me now, yeah. John 3:16, yes, here we go. I use Google for that. And if you want to know a Bible verse, I'd say to you, Google it. Simple. Because Googling has become to searching the internet like hoovering has become to vacuum cleaning. I was told off by my neighbour because it's vacuuming, isn't it? Hoover is the name of the brand, but actually we've actually called vacuuming hoovering, don't we? Because it became such a thing. And it's the same with Google. And it's a huge power in the world we live in. I'm pretty sure that everyone, in fact, there's probably people here who have Googled many things today already, I'm guessing. Yeah? Okay, we're confessing now. It's not necessarily confession time, but if you've Googled maybe more than 100 things today, we need to talk about it later maybe. But, you know, I'm guessing even some of us who don't know what Google is have probably Googled without even realizing. And it's part of an everyday part of life today. I mean, what kind of things do you Google? Go on, you be honest. I'll confess my Google sins in a minute. Did you? I can Tina Turner, all right? You fans? Okay. Yep. Okay. Well, that's, you see, your clarification, we need to get the right, get the facts right. Google will tell us, won't it? Oh, okay. Yeah, but Google took you there, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Anything else? The time of steam train specials through Addlestone. See, what would you do before Google if you didn't have that? You know, you'd have to go on a piece of paper. It was much more hard work. Yeah? Any other specialty Googling? Go on, Adam. Okay, a bit more highbrow. Yes. We've had Ike and Tina Turner, and now we've got somebody doing a postgrad thing on Google. Yeah. Google Maps. Yep. Yep. Recipes. Yes, recipes. Louise does my head in. That's nice. Where'd you get that from? I Googled it. Then try and find it again. It's gone. It's like, well, I want that particular one. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Weather, yeah, yeah, yeah. I use it to check spellings. I'm terrible at spellings, and the kids will say to me, how do you spell this? And again, I'm kind of like, and if you spelt it wrong, Google will say, did you mean to say this? Yes, I did actually, thank you. That's good, I before E and all that. Bike reviews have been, I've been looking at bikes recently, but that's been another thing. So, very useful. Apparently, Google takes 90% of the European search engine market. So, everybody uses Google, pretty much everybody uses, and they process 3 billion searches a day worldwide. That's a lot of brain power. Do you know what the top search last year in Google was? In this country, have a guess. No. In fact, Brexit wasn't even on the top 10. No. No, sorry. It's like a New Year's quiz, isn't it? We haven't done this for a while. Yes, Meghan Markle was number one. You can see where Cherry's things are, yeah. Yeah, she just Googled it, did she? Yeah, yeah, that's it. It was actually her who boosted the ratings right up. She's addicted. iPhone 8 was number 2. Hurricane Irma was number 3. iPhone 10 was number 10. So there's lots of, yeah. I think that probably tells you about a bit about the world we live in. Now, I don't think that's, I'm not going to say this is harmful, you know, in itself. If you look down the list of things that people search for, sometimes it's a bit inane. But it's not too dark. But you probably wouldn't be surprised if you also, some of the most popular key search words are to do with pornography. In fact, I think there was like 3 words or 4 words. If you add them together, they just completely blew any other search words out of the water on what people were looking for. So, you know, Google is what it is. I mean, it gives you answers from Apple Crumble, you know, through to where to buy marijuana online. It can, you know, it give you Bible verses. It can tell you how to commit suicide. All of those things. You can ask those things, and Google will give you an answer. And it's become just a part of modern life, and whether you like it or not, it's probably here to stay. And I think we've become rather reliant on Google, like Keith even now relies on it to find out when the steam trains are coming through town. You know? And with all good things, and we need to remember that all good things, they can be useful to us and they can be used for good for us. It's when we put our complete and sole reliance on anything, then it becomes an idol, and then a good thing becomes a ultimate thing, and then we're in trouble. And funny enough, as I was doing my research, which I had to Google to get my research on Google, I found a website called, which I think it was called Googleism.com. And this, I hope, is a spoof website, but it's a website about the religion of Google, which it said, Google is God. Hear me out. Because Google is the closest thing we have to being all-knowing. Google is everywhere. Google always gives you answers. And Google remembers all things. Now, I just want to throw that out there because actually when people start to put their reliance on these things, ultimately we start to sort of say technology takes the place of God. You see? Everyone's looking horrified now. I'm not, don't worry, I haven't changed the name out there, the Googleism Church, you know, of Addleston. We've left the Baptist Union now just quickly and joined Googleism. But I'm just saying there is, I hope it's a spoof website, but we live in a world where technology and science are trying to replace God. And in many ways, in many people's lives haven't they? They want an all-knowing presence. Oh, well, I've got Google. Who needs God? Want an answer for anything? Google knows everything. Now, that's quite extreme. And I think most people would sort of say, okay, well, that's having a bit of a laugh. But that's kind of the direction that culture is pushing towards. And at the very least, Google is a modern-day empire. If we go back to our stuff we talked about in Revelation, you know, it's just something we need to be aware of, that we live under this empire in one way, but we always need to remember that God is Lord over that. But Google is an empire. It's dominant. It holds control over the information that we are, you know, so, you know, when you sort of think, well, is this true about Ike and Tina Turner? I've Googled it, but still, I'm not quite sure about this. Or is that the best recipe for apple crumble or whatever you're Googling? Google has that control to decide what information we see. And there's a loyal following to Google, so there's this kind of, you know, Google has the power. Now, how does our following of Jesus impact how we interact with Google? You're probably thinking, where is he going today? We haven't opened our Bibles. And I don't know whether I have many Bible verses about Google. But I do want to say to you that, yes, life does work with Jesus when we're living in this modern world with technology and things like Google. And the first thing I'd say is that 3 billion searches a day, which you get on Google, suggests we live in a world where people have many questions. Doesn't it? A world that seeks truth and answers and information and knowledge. And information and knowledge is quick and is at our fingertips. And so if we want to know something, we Google it and we get the answer quick. And that's where people can put their trust. But ultimately, and I don't want this to sound cheesy, but ultimately we, as followers of Christ, our foundations are in Jesus, who said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And that we always need to remember that whatever Google says and whatever the world we live in with this technology and all this science and stuff, that actually Jesus is always greater. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you want a recipe for apple crumble, you pray and think that you're going to get a really good answer. Now, having said that, I mean, I've met some people recently who get words of knowledge on a level that is just bonkers. So maybe there are people who think, I need to do some cooking today, and I pray about it and I get revelation. But on the whole, if you want a recipe for apple crumble, I suggest you Google it. I mean, I'm not against that, all right? So go for it. Or if you want the best holiday deal, or if you want to find out about Ike and Tina Turner, Google it. There's no problem with that. Don't think I'm thinking that Google is evil, okay? But it isn't the whole truth. It certainly isn't the way, and it certainly isn't the way to eternal life. And I think we do live in a world, bizarrely, where people start, I think it's quite subconsciously, start to put their trust in these things on a level where it's like, this is life. Actually, we need to remember that Jesus is the only way. And we rely on an all-powerful God. So we live in a world that craves information and knowledge, but I tell you what I've noticed in this world we live in, the Google generation, it may be very information savvy, but there's not a lot of wisdom out there. And I don't think Google will give you wisdom. I think Jesus will. And so we shouldn't confuse vast amounts of information for wisdom. It's only Jesus, the word at the beginning, where we get wisdom and truth. But in many ways, Google's changed the way we live. So instant answers are the norm, aren't they? So before, Keith had to go into a book, possibly even into a library, or buy a magazine to get his train times. Now, he just taps on his phone, and he can be down the station in 5 minutes because he knows that the train's coming now, or hadn't realised that one was due today. And so we get this instant gratification. So there's no more searching through books. There's no more going on quests to places to find things, because we can even go and look at them now on Google Maps. And I don't need to go to China anymore to see the Great Wall of China. I can see it on my screen at home. What's the point of going? Can all be accessed at the click of a button, instantly. And in many ways that's helpful, but I think in other ways it takes away from the richness of life. And it dulls our need to think for ourselves and to stretch our minds, and so we just Google it and don't worry about it. And I wonder whether, you know, it's good to meditate on things. It's good to meditate on the scriptures. It's good to meditate just on how God works in the world. And I wonder whether if we just live in a Google-type way, that we lose that ability just to stop and just to say, okay, I'm just going to meditate on it. I'm going to think about it. But Google gives that instant gratification. And so rather than, I mean, I'm guilty of it sometimes as well. I think, okay, I'm going to preach on this passage. And I think, rather than just spend a lot of time meditating on this, I'll just Google. I'll see what John Piper has to say about it. Or I'll see what Tom Wright has to say about it. And then I'll mash all that together and I'll... Horrible. You know. I mean, I do go to commentaries. And I use Google to do that sometimes. But we lose that ability if we go too far down the Google road of just sort of saying, I'm going to meditate on this. I'm going to see what God's going to say to me. I wonder whether also it suppresses our desire to go and search and strive for things, for answers and meaning, you know. I mean, in the olden days, some people would just literally go on quests, wouldn't they? I'm going to go and find the answer to this. And off they'd go. And I wonder whether that sort of impacts on the way we pray about things, because sometimes we just think, well, we tend to think this anyway, I'd like to better pray this and I'll get the answer tomorrow. We talked about this the other day. Why doesn't, you know, John's question last week, didn't we say, oh, a couple of weeks ago, I asked, what would your one question be? And John says, why aren't all my prayers answered? You know, and we live in this generation, particularly, that likes instant answers. But I wonder whether when we don't get that the Google-type approach dampens our ability to contend in prayer and be those ones who keep knocking on the door of heaven, as Jesus taught us to, in prayer, and saying, or like Jacob, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Or in the Google generation, well, we wrestled for a little bit and I didn't get an answer, so I went to a different search engine or something. You know, that's, do you see what I'm saying? We can get into that kind of way. Definitely doesn't help develop our patience, does it, Google? I mean, patience is a virtue, but not, Google doesn't help that. And I wonder whether the idea that Google has the answer to everything, it takes away the idea that in God there is mystery. And there are some things we won't know or can't know. And then we end up feeling that it's wrong to not know the answer. When in fact sometimes in God there are some things that are just too mysterious for us to get. So there's a few observations I have. So I'm not saying don't use Google, but I'm just saying, you know, I am saying it's great for all kinds of things, but, you know, finding a recipe or a holiday deal or a Bible verse or a spelling, and it's here to stay, but don't let us be conformed to its image, if you like. Don't let us allow it to change how we are as human beings. Definitely don't let it take the place of Jesus. So just to finish with this, I want you to consider some Google search questions. You know, you've probably done this, I've done this one. You're in a new town and you think, right, I need to eat. I'm going to Google it, find a restaurant. If Jerry uses maps, that's probably something you've done. So you Google, where's the nearest restaurant, yeah? That feeds 5,000. Let's just say that, okay? You know, now Google, I did try this actually, and it did suggest some restaurants. And maybe it would take you off to Costco and you can do bulk buy or something. You know, that's what Google would say. And Google gives you an answer. Where's the nearest restaurant? You can try it, okay? Not now, but after. Or where's the nearest church? But where's the nearest restaurant? What does Jesus say when the disciples are in the middle of nowhere? I mean, imagine 2,000 years ago, then they had Google. So the disciples there, and Jesus is teaching, and they're thinking, we're running a bit late now, and these guys are hungry, we need to get some food. So, you know, and it probably would have been the kids who have the mobile phones back in those days, so they probably would have looked to Josh and Dan and said, well, okay, can you just Google and find a restaurant? But actually, what did Jesus say when the disciples came to him? They didn't say Google it. And they didn't look to the youngsters and say, can you find... He said, how many loaves do you have? Now, do you notice there's something different about how Jesus answers our question? They said, where are we going to get somewhere to feed all these people? And Jesus says, how many loaves have you got? There's not an answer. That's a question. I don't know if you realize that, yeah? That's a question. Jesus is brilliant at this. You ask a question, he gives you a question. We like to say, what's 2 + 2? And he will say, 4. No doubt Jesus would say, well, have you considered what 5 - 1 is? You know, this is just the way Jesus is. He gives a question to our questions. He searches us. We like searching the internet, but he searches us. So don't expect Jesus to give Google-style answers. Sorry. And I think we're sometimes guilty of that, aren't we? I'd like just, Lord, give me an answer to this. And I just want to be plain simple, or just a link I can click on and everything will be fine. You know, people Google things like this. What rate of tax should I be paying? Yeah, that's a Google search thing. Or should I be paying taxes at all? How can I, you know, and that, Google will direct you to the HMRC website, no doubt. Or it will take you to the local accountant, you know. But what would Jesus say? If you Googled, you know, imagine you're there. You've got Google or Jesus. Jesus would probably say, look at your coin. Whose image do you see on them? Oh, no, another question. And what does that question do? Well, that question makes us think, well, whose money is this in the first place? And you see, and you think, whose image is on there? And then he says, you know, well, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. And you know, there's an implication. I love that scripture. Just this is a complete throwaway aside. You know, there's the image of Caesar on the coin, but he's also sort of saying, okay, let's say he's talking to Margaret. Well, whose image is on Margaret? Yeah. So who does she belong to? So who do we give ourselves to then? Yeah. So goodness, that's a much bigger answer than Google will give you. You owe 22%, said Google. This expands out who we are. Don't expect Jesus to give Google-style answers. Here's another Google one. How can I live longer? Click that one in. I did this one. If you cut out smoking, apparently, and cut out drinking, exercise more and eat more veg, this is the top answer in Google, you will live longer. I've got a doctor here smiling at me. She's saying, yes, yes, of course, do those things. Yes. And maybe there are other links to health websites, you know, and sort of gyms and, you know, all kinds of things that you can do. That's what Google will say. And maybe there's a link to the Daily Mail's unending list of all the things that give you cancer, which is unending, you know, if you've read those things. But Jesus asked that question, really. Somebody said to him, how might I get eternal life? He was asked that. So how does he answer? He doesn't say cut out your smoking and your drinking. He says, what is written in the law? How do you read it?
Another question.
Now that's a big one. I don't know if you've read the law. Then how do you read it? That's a big question as well. That opens up a whole exploration and challenge for us, doesn't it? So I think, you know, when we ask Jesus a question, when we ask Google a question, we get an answer. We ask Jesus a question, we usually get a question back, and that question will search us more than we were searching it. And the question that Jesus will ask us in reply will always challenge us and stretch us, and at the end of the day, make us more human. Because he came to give us life. And that's, I think, what Jesus does. He challenges us and stretches us to be more like him. Last one. You could Google, who is Jesus? And Google will say, and this is from Wikipedia, but it actually quotes this as their top, but it actually, rather than taking you to a link to the Wikipedia website, it actually quotes this and says, Jesus is a first century Jewish preacher and religious leader. He is a central figure of Christianity. Most Christians, that's generous, believe him to be the incarnation of God, the Son, and the awaited Messiah, the Christ, prophesied in the Old Testament. That's what Google says, who Jesus is. Ask Jesus, who are you? And he'd probably say, who do you say I am? Another question. That's what he said to Peter, isn't it? Who do you say I am? This is what they say I am. This is what Google says I am. This is what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and this is what Google's. I mean, if there was Google, he'd probably say, this is who Google says I am. But who do you say I am? Not necessarily a black and white answer. They're not little factoids. They're not little quick, easy to, you know, satisfy. You know, I can just get this, get my quick fix, or a link to a website. Jesus' answers, they demand more of us, don't they? They develop us. They make us think. They cause us to change. They won't just reinforce our ideas. You know, sometimes we Google things just to make sure we're right. Yeah? I'm just going to check that I've got this one right because I know I'm right, and then I can tell Margaret what I really think. I've got this, all the evidence here. Jesus doesn't do that. I don't think anything I know where Jesus says, yeah, right on, Richard, just completely go on with your prejudices in this direction. Jesus always challenges us. And when we search him, he will search us. So, in conclusion, Google is good for many things, yes. I'm not saying don't use it. I'm not saying it's evil. Please don't get me, you know, don't go away thinking, Richard says we're not allowed to use a computer anymore. You know? No, not at all. It's great for many things, you know, and go ahead. Particularly if you want to find a Bible verse, but I doubt if you can do it quicker than a noob. But anyway, that's another thing. But I wouldn't say rely on it. Because actually there is merit actually, and there is something about being able to know these Bible verses actually on your own. Because there might be a time when you don't have an internet connection and you might need to just look at that verse, you know. But don't let Google shape who you are and how you live in some of these sort of deeper things. Rely on Jesus who gives wisdom and who stretches us by his questions to us and his searching of us. Because Google won't give you the wisdom that will tell you how to get eternal life or about the meaning, real meaning of things or the significance of things. And Google will definitely not necessarily give you any hope. So the next time you Google something, I mean, and maybe this is just a little reminder in life, you know, when you Google something, you'll get an answer, but you can even ask the question, I wonder what Jesus would say in this situation. Because he's no doubt going to challenge you. And he's going to stretch me. And at the end of the day, he wants to make me more human and not become like a robot or a computer. Let's pray. Lord, this may seem like a strange topic this morning to some of us. I hope it isn't, but it may be. But either way, in this modern world, I pray you just teach us how to live with you. And let us not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be conformed to your ways, Lord. Renew our minds each day so that we would not live like the world around us and the powers and the principalities around us, but to be conformed to you and to be challenged by you so that when we search and when we ask, you would ask of us and search us. Because we, at the end of the day, we want to be more human. We want to be more like you. We want to be living more in your image and in your likeness. We want to be taking the old things and removing them and just living more and more in the new things. Let those things work in us inwardly and even outwardly so that we will be challenged by you and stretched by you. And enjoy the fullness of life you have for us. Let us not settle for just quick one-click answers that just satisfy our need for information, but let us delve into the wisdom and the heart of God and just know those things changing and challenging us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We put our trust in you. Amen. Amen.